IFPRI Policy Seminar, Sustainable Food Security and Climate Change, Post-Bonn and Pre-Rio, a conversation about where we are and where we are headed. Thursday, May 31st, 2012, in Washington, D.C. Speaker, David Waskow, Climate Change Program Manager at Oxfam America.
Thank you. First, apologies for being late, and thank you to Jerry for having me as part of this conversation. I'm fine for food, for now. So I think I'll do this presentation and or a set of comments in two parts. First, just a few thoughts and comments on what Bill laid out about where the UN negotiations are on these issues, and maybe some pathways that could help steer clear of some of the rocks and hard places that he was describing. On agriculture. And then secondly, Jerry asked me to talk about the sustainable development goals that are part of the agenda for Rio. I think probably because when we were talking about Rio recently, I said that the sustainable development goals, the SDGs, seem to me to be the potentially the main thing or even only thing that really productively seem to be cooking in the Rio pot at the moment. So I'll say a little bit about that, and there are lots of unanswered questions, I think, about exactly where that's going to land at Rio, but at least it's an important conversation to be aware of. So on the UNFCCC front, I think Bill laid out very well the context in the SEBSTA discussions in particular. Just a caveat, I was not at Bonn, but I have received, I think, fairly good report backs from colleagues of mine who were there, including colleagues who were following the SEBSTA talks fairly closely. I think Bill's right that a lot of the challenge in the SEBSTA discussions has to do with the much broader negotiating context. And so these questions, for example, around common but differentiated responsibilities that are an issue in the broader talks, where the question for the next agreement, the agreement that's supposed to come out of what was launched, the process launched in Durban, is supposed to apply to all countries. How one deals with that generally, I think, is sort of having an effect on the ways in which people are negotiating within various specific areas, including agriculture. I think there are a couple of ways in which, though, there are very specific questions that are on the table in agriculture and in the SEBSTA talks. One has to do with the question of where the SEBSTA process would land. And I think the example that some countries and also some in civil society are nervous about is the RED example. RED, the reduction in emissions from deforestation and degradation, is a set of issues, as Bill was mentioning, that came out of SEBSTA initially. That was really the launching pad for RED. And what happened over time was that it became very much embedded in the broader policy context of the UNFCCC, and also spread much wider, as Bill was also saying. And so I think that there's a keen awareness that what begins in SEBSTA can then have much broader ramifications, and that can be for better and for worse. And so I think many countries are, on the mitigation side of things, are concerned about where it might lead. I think especially what they are nervous about, at least in the case of some countries, is the question of what kinds of obligations might it lead to? What kind of expectations or even responsibility for developing countries in their agriculture sectors might it lead to? And so there's hesitation that I think is really specific to agriculture in this process. It's linked to the broader questions around responsibility, but also specific. And carbon markets also, as Bill was mentioning, is part of that dynamic. How would this end up getting played out in a carbon markets context, which some LDCs are concerned about. And then there is also this adaptation mitigation challenge. And we continue to see resources for climate finance in general being directed disproportionately toward mitigation, at least from the perspective of Oxfam. It's still on the order of about an 80-20 split, mitigation to adaptation, in our analysis and the analysis of others of the global pool of climate resources. U.S. climate funding, just to take an example, although how one parses it, of course, can be argued day and night, but I think it's fair to say that the U.S. contribution to adaptation has been on the order of about 20% to 25% of its overall climate finance budget. And so there are concerns that in agriculture, some of that dynamic would continue to play out. And from an Oxfam perspective, it's critically important and foremost important to address the ways in which smallholders are being affected by climate impacts. Now, clearly, there's a mitigation challenge in the agriculture sector. There's no question of that. But when looking at what smallholders are facing on the ground, adaptation is at the front and should be at the front. And so making sure that resources and attention don't get diverted from that challenge is critically important. So I just wanted to, I'm amplifying some things Bill said, I think, I don't think disagreeing with what the context is, but I did want to amplify some of what I think is happening in those discussions. As Bill said, one path would be to simply have substitute take up adaptation and set the mitigation piece aside. I think politically there are some advantages to that. I did want to suggest another way of thinking through some of the issues that I think could be helpful to finding some pathways forward. We've stressed the importance of looking at the challenges faced by smallholders, and this is a way of framing the discussions, framing the negotiations that I think could be helpful in general. First of all, on the adaptation side, but also in thinking through how one deals with the mitigation side of the agriculture challenge. And I think the U.S. Submission didn't refer to small holder farmers and marginal farmers. Is that right?
I don't know if it specifically did.
So this is an opportunity to lobby Bill as well. I think we all understand on the adaptation side why smallholders should be very much at the center. When looking at the mitigation side of the puzzle, I think thinking about the ways in which mitigation are relevant is relevant or not relevant from a smallholder's perspective is critically important and also can be very helpful to the discussions in the UNFCCC. And it's a framing that some of the LDCs, Malawi in particular, have really over time tried to make sure was very much on the radar in the agriculture discussions. And how this plays out with smallholders is very complicated. What the impacts of smallholders are in mitigation terms is a very complicated question. If you start looking, for example, at the question of drivers of deforestation, smallholders actually may play a relatively significant role in a lot of countries, not everywhere, of course. But I think a couple of things are worth keeping in mind. One in particular is this phrase that often gets dropped from the lexicon, but Bill mentioned respective capabilities. And I think if we are thinking through who is it who can take and should be expected to take action in agriculture for mitigation, thinking about the respective capabilities of smallholder farmers in developing countries relative to larger industrial scale operations in developing countries even, but certainly compared to large scale farmers in developed countries, I think it begins doing that, I think begins to place a bit of a different lens on what we're thinking about in doing mitigation. And this is a different way of thinking about some of the responsibility and capability questions than is usually on the table. Usually we think about it in terms of countries, in terms of nation states. And so this would be a different way to slice it. And I can't say that it would work politically necessarily. There are a lot of folks in the UNFCCC negotiations who are wedded to the CBDR, to the common but differentiated responsibilities term, and a certain way of thinking about that framework. But I think introducing this, if you will, horizontal notion about scale of farming, and I don't want to oversimplify it. Jerry and I have had discussions about how difficult it is to define smallholder, what a smallholder farmer is, to define what are the differences between large-scale industrial operations versus those that are not. All of those questions clearly would have to be thought through and addressed. But I think this horizontal approach could help in terms of loosening up some of these challenges in the UNFCCC. Okay, enough about that. Let me just say a few words about Rio. And the thing that I think is going to be the most important outcome from Rio, and that has to do with sustainable development goals. And this is a notion that's been floating around in various forms for a while. It was formally tabled in the Rio discussions by Colombia. And there have been various countries that are on board, not worth going through some of those details, I think. But the basic point is that, particularly as we look toward the next phase for the Millennium Development Goals, which were adopted with a time frame that ends in 2015, there's been increasing interest in thinking through how sustainability issues, broadly conceived, are relevant to having development goals as a whole. The question, one of the questions, of course, has been, well, if you come up with some sustainable development goals having to do with water or oceans or what have you, and I'll get to what categories they might be in a moment, how does that relate to the MDGs? Is it going to take away attention from the Millennium Development Goals, which were largely framed around key poverty issues, education, health, et cetera? So that is going to be a challenge, how to think through these questions. But I think what we are seeing is that as we look toward a next phase of development goals, that issues of sustainability are very much on the table now. Whatever the outcome is in Rio, on paper, I think that discussion has begun. The question going forward is going to be what exactly we articulate as a set of sustainability goals that could be part of a broader set of internationally agreed goals. One of the contexts in which this will play out, I think, is a new high-level panel on the post-2015 Millennium Development Goals that the UN Secretary General put in place or initiated within the last several weeks. He has named three co-chairs for that panel, David Cameron, the UK Prime Minister, President Johnson Sirleaf of Liberia, and President Yudho Yono of Indonesia. The rest of the panel is not yet, as far as I know, is not yet named. But there is now a process that will be post-Rio moving forward toward 2015. Now, what's the content that one might deal with? Colombia has recently put forward a proposal where they started to list some of the categories. Food security was their first, actually, and they had some, you know, indicative areas of potential work or sub-goals below that: reduction in food waste and food losses, zero net land degradation and increase in productive land, increased global food production, closing yield gaps, and improved provision of daily nutritional requirements for all, with a MDG linkage to the goal of having the proportion of people who suffer from hunger. So this is the kind of thing that's in the mix, at least from Colombia's perspective. And I think there will be bubbling discussions at Rio, certainly, but going forward from there, about that and other possible categories. Some of the others that they list, integrated water management, energy for sustainable development, and that's an area that the Secretary General, the UN Secretary General, has had particular interest in. Sustainable and resilient cities, healthy and productive oceans, enhanced capacity of natural systems to support human welfare, improved efficiency of resource use, and enhanced employment and livelihood security. Long list there. I think there's going to have to be a lot of work to winnow these down to figure out which are most important. How does one articulate what the goals should be. Are they going to be quantitative? Are there some goals that should be qualitative? So, important, interesting area of work, and I think stay tuned.